Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and I've had so many friends with so many benefits over the years. Oh, what a lucky life I've led. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I am a sex educator and a sex blogger, and as a kid, well, teenager, when my friends would fantasize about, like, getting married and living happily ever after, I was like, right, and I will just have a posse of friends with benefits who I can fuck all of the time, and then they leave.
Ideal.
Really my ideal scenario. Like, that, I distinctly remember that conversation at lunch in the cafeteria. I could tell you what table we were sitting at. We were eating the delicious high school cookies that I still miss. And I, like, just described that was my ideal scenario. And looking back, I'm like, really? That just tells me so much about myself.
So, yeah, this is interesting. I feel like the whole time I've known you, I've been more or less looking for a romantic relationship. And you've always kind of been more looking for, like, a steady sexual thing. Seems like you gravitate more towards, like, the fuck buddy type of relationship than a romantic one. So, like, why is that? Like, what are the benefits of that for you?
So I've been exploring solo poly a lot lately, and there's not a ton of information out there around it yet. It's mostly just talking to people who identify that way, which I guess really is any identity. But it still feels like it's new and evolving, and there isn't really a consensus on what solo poly means, necessarily. Mm-hmm. But the more people I talk to who identify that way, the more I hear them talk about it, the more I'm like, yeah, that feels like what would make sense for me. Because it's basically like seeing yourself as a primary partner, which is kind of how I am. Myself and my career really are kind of my primary partners. And then, so I don't really crave... And I've never really craved, like, a romantic connection with people. Mm-hmm. So for me, I do enjoy closeness and, like, affection and caring about people. And for me, those just tend to manifest as really, like, intense friendships. And I've tripped and fallen into a few, like, romantic connections. But it's never been something I've pursued or cared deeply about. Maybe I'm, like, demi-romantic. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Totally a thing.
Yeah, like, I've toyed with the idea of, like, oh, maybe that's, because it's just, I've never, or very rarely, like, fantasized about that. Even the closest thing to romance that I fantasize about is, like, cuddles and kisses and closeness, which is a thing that I feel comfortable doing with, like, friends that I'm really comfortable and affectionate about. And I'm like, oh, I super care about you, and, like, I enjoy having you in my life, but not necessarily in the way that a traditional escalator relationship would look like. An escalator relationship is the idea that, like, you know, you meet, you fall in love, you get married, you have 2.5 kids, you move in together, or whatever order that happens in, you know, that you're constantly moving towards the next step. And that's never felt important to me. So, I don't know, like, I don't regret the times I've tripped and fallen into romantic relationships. Like, I've thoroughly enjoyed them, but I've never really craved it. I more just crave the closeness and the touch and the sexual connection that I can have with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so funny. I feel like we could not be more opposite in this way.
Yeah.
That's one of the few things that I can really say that about.
Yep.
Because I'm constantly thinking about romantic relationships that I want. But at the same time, like, friends with benefits have been very important to me in my life, and I wouldn't say that I view them as, like, a consolation prize or not as good as the thing I really want. They're just good in a different way, and I've been blessed to have many really excellent fuck buddies in my life. And for me, the difference there is we have no intention of having a romantic relationship, which in the ideal situation is because both of us are not interested in each other in that way. But what has actually often happened in my life is that one of us was interested in the other one in that way, and it just wasn't going to happen. So we ended up being fuck pals, which I would not recommend. But the sex was good. Sex continues to be good. So that's something. I think that the other reason that I gravitate towards these ongoing casual relationships is that, like, one night stands and one off hookups really don't do it for me because I have such specific sexual tastes and it takes people time to learn how to get me off. So like if I'm having sex with someone for the first and only time, I'm really not going to be relaxed enough with them to have a good time. And like a lot of my kinks require, you know, mutual trust and negotiation and communication, and those things build up over time. So like I really can't imagine having a good one night stand. I think I've had maybe one or two decent one night stands ever, and the rest of them I was like, well, that was a complete waste of my time and my genitals time. I don't know why I did that.
See, that's interesting to me because I've never actually had like a sustained ongoing sexual relationship with someone that didn't have some sort of caveat, whether it's long distance or my partner had a considerably lower sex drive than me, or anything like that. Like, I've never had just free, regular access to sex when I wanted it from a partner, and I've never reached quite that level of, like, I mean, I have that level of comfort with my partner, but there's still that caveat that when we are having sex in person together, it's a limited window, right? Oh, we have 4 days to do this. And that creates a different environment. Like, there's definitely metrics to that, I guess. But I've never had, I don't know, easy sex. Like, that's never, I've never reached that point in a relationship with someone. And, like, that feels like the ideal to me. And it's really frustrating that I just haven't wound up in one of those situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, the problem with the easy sex thing is, like, yeah, it is great, but sometimes it's so great that it makes you stick around in a relationship that you really should not still be in. Like, I think yeah, I pretty much that. Every relationship that I've considered ending, there's always been a stage of it where I was like, but the sex is so good. Like, everything else is falling apart and terrible, and I can't stand to be around them anymore. But the sex, though, like, how am I ever going to find sex that good and consistent again? So it's like, it really kind of like reels you in when maybe you kind of need to get out of there. Like, I remember when I had that fuck buddy when we first met, who I hated. And like, it was like a joke between us that I hated my fuck pal. I would frequently, like, this is not a great coping behavior, but sometimes I would have a little bit to drink before I would go and see him because I just needed, like, the sex was consensual. I just didn't enjoy talking to him or being around him. So I was just like, I need to like dim my brain a little bit so that I can go in there and fuck him and then get out.
I have one and of like, those where I'm like, God, you're annoying. But every once in a while I'm like, oh, I guess we'll make out though.
Right. Like, and this is not the ideal because,
yeah.
I mean, obviously my ideal situation as far as friends with benefits is like what it says on the tin, like a friend who you also have sex with. And I've found that quite rarely. Like, I have one right now who I'm very happy with, but definitely the benefits are more important than the friendship in the sense that I don't think we've ever hung out and not had sex. And we might. Like, it's not off the table. I enjoy his company. I think he's fun to be with, but it's definitely been more focused on the sex. But the difference for me is, like, I feel emotionally supported by him in a way that I haven't with some of my previous fuck buddies. Like, I do feel like if I texted him with some kind of emotional crisis that was completely unsexy, that he would probably be there for me in some capacity. So that's been kind of nice.
Yeah. I'm curious, I don't know, kind of where the line is, because I think a lot of people have issue with the idea of, okay, like, an intense friendship with someone, a good connection, you enjoy hanging out and watching movies and, you know, going out to dinner and whatever you do, and then you also have sex with each other. I think a lot of people from the outside would look at that and be like, okay, but, like, so you're dating. That is a relationship, mm-hmm. right? Yeah? Isn't that what that is? and I'm curious, as someone who has, like, had way more friends, consistent friends with benefits than me, if you mm-hmm. could talk, because I have had friends with benefits, or I have had sex with a lot of my friends, mm-hmm. but often, like, the hookups are, like, a one-off, or they're friends who are also long distance, because I have a lot of those. So it's like, yeah, I mean, we've talked about having sex, or we have had sex when we're together, but, like, that only happens every once in a while at, like, conferences and things, so, like, meh.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone who's had, like, more consistency with that, I wonder if you can talk about, like, what is the difference, where that line is?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is part of why people have so many problems having successful friend with benefits relationships, is because that line is blurry and we don't have a lot of, like, societal scripts for what those are supposed to look like. And a lot of times we're mentally comparing those relationships to more romantic ones that we know from media depictions and from past experiences. So it all gets a little bit blurry. But for me, because most of my romantic relationships have been either, like, monogamous or, like, a primary partnership, in those relationships there is a sense of, like, relying on each other and also kind of, like, owing each other something. That sounds worse than I mean it to, but, like, there is a certain expectation when you're dating someone that you're going to be there for them and,
like, you're
going to support them.
Like, you're held accountable to each other. Like, you're parts of,
right,
like, one, like, entity.
That's what commitment is, right? Like, there's a sense of, like, you will be around for this person for the ostensible future if they need you. And for me, like, my friendships, there is some element of that, but it's more spread out amongst a bunch of different people and it's less intense. So, like, you know, you're my best friend in the world. If I'm having an emotional crisis, I'll probably text you. But I probably wouldn't text, like, my fuck buddy, because he's going to be like, I mean, I can, like, cuddle you. I can come watch a silly movie with you. But I don't really want to, like, wade into the detritus of your psyche with you right now, because that's not really my job.
I'm your primary friendship partner.
It's true. It's really true. We were just talking the other day about how when we have other partners, they're basically, like, we're each other's metamours.
Yeah.
That sentence made no sense. Hopefully somebody out there knew that.
I was talking to my sir the other day, and he's like, oh, yeah, Kate's my metamour. 100%, absolutely. And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah.
I also think, like, it's really hard to define what a romantic feeling is, because I think it varies from person to person, and it's like, especially when I'm talking to someone like you who maybe experiences romantic feelings in a different way than I do, it's hard for me to, like, exactly explain what a romantic attraction is. But my current fuck buddy, for example, I am very sexually attracted to him. I like talking to him, but I don't have a romantic attraction to him. Like, I don't fantasize about introducing him to my parents. I don't think about, like, what it would be like to wake up with him on a Saturday morning and get coffee in bed and just hang out talking. I don't, you know, think about making long-term plans with him. When I think about him, I smile, but it's in a very different way from how I smile when I think about my romantic crushes. I don't know. It feels different and it's hard to define. But for me, there is usually a marked line. And if I start to have more romantic feelings for a fuck buddy, then that's when I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. We maybe needed to do something about this.
See, that is so interesting to me. And it's like I was talking about earlier with, like, maybe I'm demi-romantic, because I'm like, that is not, I don't, the idea of defining a feeling as romantic, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, I can point to a handful of relationships where I've been like, all right, yeah, that was, but it's not a common or tangible feeling for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, right, like, I don't know, that shows up every once in a while, I guess, but it's, I don't know, it's like remembering a movie you watched as a kid or something that happened, like, very rarely, that you're like, yes, I am familiar with that, I think, rather than being able to, like, drum up a, like, all the lines from your favorite TV show where you're like, yes, I have lived in that. But yeah, because I think interestingly, because I'm not looking for a primary relationship, or at least not at this point in my life, I think it's interesting that for me, I'm more comfortable with blurring that line with, like, having vaguely romantic friendships, or like for me, I don't need a hard line between friends, mm-hmm, with benefit and benefits and capital R relationship. I think those labels are helpful, but I think if I was in a relationship with someone that, like, lived in ether between those things, that would be feel okay for me, but it would obviously require tons of conversation to make sure that they were on the same page and weren't like, oh, so we're getting on the escalator now, right? Like, this is the next thing that happens. I'll be like, oh, no, no.
Right, like, this is the issue with blurring those lines, is that sometimes you're not on the same page. And this is, like, I wrote this piece for my blog a while ago that was, like, the 10 commandments of successful friendships with benefits, which is not to say that I'm, like, a pro at this, because I've fucked up so many times, which I say in the piece. But, like, I've kind of learned the ways that you can fuck up this type of relationship. And one of the ways is not being on the same page about what you're expecting from each other and what kind of relationship it is. Because, like, yeah, it can sometimes veer into the more romantic kind of tone. And that's only a problem if one person is feeling that and the other person isn't or doesn't want to go there. And I know this because I went through a really terrible time where I was in love with my friend with benefits for a literal year. And it was this very weird situation where, like, he knew and I knew and, like, we just weren't going to do anything about it. We were just going to live in that horrible awkwardness and pain for a year. and then eventually it kind of all came to a head and we talked about it and we were like, yeah, maybe we should take a break from having sex. which we did. And it took probably another like 6 months or something after that for me to actually feel like I was over him and like I could have sex with him without it getting romantically weird. Like I definitely noticed the sex feels so different now when we do occasionally hook up, because it's just like it's missing that element that it had of like longing and like crushiness, and now it's just like feels good, it's fun, it doesn't feel like it's emblematic of like some bigger, grander romantic thing that I was trying to make happen.
Can we talk for a second about like that distinction in feelings between with sex though, because I love that like comfort that comes from sex. This is gonna sound rude, but the comfort that comes in sex with someone you don't really give a damn about.
yeah, no, I'm totally there with
like,
you.
Like, they're perfectly nice, I like them, they're cool, but I'm not scared or nervous of them. Like, if they decide
the
they don't...
The stakes are so low.
Yeah, if they decide they don't like me after this, like, well, that's unfortunate, but, like, I'll be okay. Like, I'm not afraid of humiliating or embarrassing myself. I'm just like, this is fun, wee!
Yeah, I wrote a piece for my blog. You folks can check it out at girlyjuice.net. And it's called A Casual Love Letter to My Casual Lovers. And I was reflecting on it after this last time that I saw my current fuck buddy, because I just felt so, like, good and happy as I was saying goodbye to him. And I was contrasting it with how I used to feel when I would say goodbye to that other fuck buddy who I was in love with and wanted more from. And every time I would say goodbye to him, I would get so sad because I knew I was, like, he wasn't going to be thinking about me as much as I was going to think about him. And it, you know, our relationship wasn't really going to continue that much in the spaces between hookups. Whereas with this guy now, like, I like him, but when I'm away from him, I don't really think about him that much, and the sex is good, and I don't really want anything else. And one of the things I say in the piece is that he is both training ground and sacred soil. And what I mean by that is, like, I can learn skills and practice skills both sexually and interpersonally with him. He's a practicing ground, but it's also like it's very important relationship to me in its own right. Like I definitely don't take it lightly. But yeah, definitely like way lower stakes than with a romantic thing.
Yeah. And it's just sex feels so much more like play in that kind of environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I really, really love that, like, cause that's what I love about sex. And I mean, to be fair, I've also gotten in that place with my partner, who I'm just super comfortable with and, like, care very deeply about, but I'm not nervous around because I know he cares about me and, like, I know that if I make a weird face, he's not going to be like, yeah, all right, that's it, I'm out. and I have, like, some stability in that. And, like, that feeling is similar to the feeling that I get with someone that I'm just like, all right, you seem cool. Like, this could be fun. in that, it's just that level of comfort. But obviously, there's a lot of other feelings, like, layered on top of the sex I have with my partner. But yeah, it's just, it's a really, really cool space to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, because you get to try shit out, and you don't feel like you're going to ruin something huge and momentous.
There isn't a mood to ruin. Which, like, I know we did an entire episode about how ruining the mood is bullshit anyway. But, like, and it is. But every once in a while, you do still kind of get a little nervous.
Yeah. Well, like, for example, when I give a sexual criticism to a romantic partner, like, the way that you do that thing doesn't actually work for me, and I want you to do it this other way, sometimes they can take that as, like, a criticism of the entire relationship in a way, because they might be like, oh, are you saying I never listened to you? Are you saying I've been doing it wrong this entire time? Are you saying I'm not attuned to your needs? Whereas I feel like with a fuck buddy, they're more likely to just hear it as like, oh, I'm physically doing a thing that you don't like. You want me to physically do a different thing? Fine, cool, good. Which is fantastic.
Because there's less feelings wrapped up in it on both sides.
Right.
Because the other person is just as nervous about pleasing you in that, like, really high nervousness situation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You teach about online dating and stuff and dating on apps and whatnot. So I wanted to ask you, like, how does one find a friend with benefits? Because I quite often get messages on OkCupid from guys being like, do you want to be friends with benefits? And that's, like, their first message to me. And I'm always like, I understand that you are looking for consistent sex, and I appreciate and respect that desire, and I get where you're coming from, but, like, this is not the way to do it. What is the way to do it?
Yeah, for me, I would not find a friends with benefits on a dating app, to be honest. I think dating apps are too much designed for either one-off hookups or, like, consistent relationships, capital R relationships. And I feel like if you go in looking for a friends with benefits, someone's going to get hurt in that situation. You're going to be disappointed. Someone who wanted a relationship is going to be disappointed. Like, it's not going to work. You can trip and fall and find one. Like, you can go on a date or have a hookup and be like, that was really great. Let's keep doing this hookup thing.
How do you do that? I'm curious about that, because, like, I don't know if you remember, I once had a one-night stand with a dude who I thought was really cute and potential fuck buddy material, and then I was just too shy to ever follow up and ask to fuck him again, and it's been over a year, so that didn't pan out. How do you do that? How do you turn a hookup or one-night stand into a fuck buddy?
I think, honestly, I would probably, like, try and communicate a soft no for a relationship, rather than, like, the problem with soft no's is they're easier to navigate if everyone understands what a soft no is, and doesn't hear a soft no as what they want to hear. But I'm more comfortable communicating that way, hashtag socialized as female. But I would probably go into it and say something like, listen, I don't really have the time or the bandwidth for a romantic relationship right now, but I had a lot of fun with you, and I think that was a lot of fun, and I would love to keep hooking up. But it's important to me that we not go into this with any, like, really intense expectations. Is that cool? Is that a space you're comfortable being in? And then continue to check in about that. I think when people tell you, like, I don't really have time for a romantic relationship, 90% of the time that ends with a silent with you, right? Like, that's the with you is implied, because if I met someone that I fell head over heels for, I would make time for that relationship, right? Like, I've gone through a lot of really, like, difficult and just complicated shit to be in a relationship with my partner. He lives in a different time zone. Like, if I was super into a person, you would, not always, but, like, often you'd be like, all right, how can I make this work? You know, so I think people can recognize, and sometimes it could just be, listen, I'm super into you and I don't have the bandwidth to give this relationship the intention that it needs. And sometimes that is entirely what you're saying. But other times it's like, I don't really, I can't do this with you right now.
But I think that one of the great things about these casual relationships too is that, like, once you've already set that boundary of, like, this is only casual and not romantic, it feels easier to set more specific boundaries. And, like, the example that I have for my own life is, like, I once had a fuck buddy who, like, our sexual chemistry was, like, not that great, I thought. But whenever he would spank me, it was amazing. Like, we really jived well together in that way for some reason. And at a certain point, I sat down with him and I was like, this is really uncomfortable for me to bring up. And, like, I don't want to offend you, but, like, would you be okay with, like, us only doing spanking stuff and not sex stuff? Because basically I was at a point where, like, if we couldn't do the spanking stuff, like, I didn't see a point in it and didn't really want to keep having sex with him. And he was like, oh, yeah, totally. That's fine. And I feel like that's something that I would have had a harder time saying to someone in a romantic relationship, because that feels way more tied up in, like, your self-worth and your attractiveness, etc. And it was so much easier to say that to him because it was casual.
I think what's really valuable about what you said too is that you were that you called out that, like, this is kind of an awkward conversation, or I feel weird about having this or saying this or whatever. And that can kind of diffuse the energy a little bit. And I think just, like, not being like, you were not attractive to me, like, I language, right? Like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling down for XYZ, but I am feeling down for ABC. One of the things I love about B is Y, you know? And just kind of focus on the things that you really enjoy and mention, like, but I'm not down for this. Is that a relationship you're looking for? Is that a thing that's cool? Because I love all of these things about this other part of our relationship that we have. Otherwise, honestly, I would look for friends with benefits through friendships, personally.
Yeah.
Because that's more important to me. And I do pretty, like, regularly and casually hit on my friends. And if I ever notice them flirting back or, like, getting that kind of sexual tension thing, I can be like, hey, how do you feel about doing this? Like, and then, you know, go from there. But I think for me, it's important, at least. I don't do well with picking up people, like, in general on online dating. I just don't, like, I'm fine at it, but I cannot read if I'm attracted to someone online. I can get dates well enough. Like, I understand how online dating works, and I can, but then I go on the date and I'm like, oh, wait, no, not you. And then I go on other dates and I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, it, I cannot get a read for online, so I just do so much better with trying to figure out friends with benefits things or any other sort of relationship by meeting people in person.
That's an interesting point with regards to casual sex, because I actually find that the sexual attraction is the thing I can't read online, like, can never predict, really. Yeah. But a romantic connection or attraction, I'm more likely to be able to predict by reading all of someone's OkCupid answers or their bio or whatever. Like, that stuff for me is more where the romantic feelings come from, is like a sense of commonality in, like, values and interests and the way that they speak and the words they use. But the sexual piece, like, I have to meet them in person. I'm not going to have any clue until we're face to face. It's about mannerisms and, I don't know, pheromones or whatever. So that's interesting. I think it's true. Like, I think I'd be more likely to pursue a friend with benefits from an existing relationship, because then you already have a sense of, like, whether you're down to bang them.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess it's, again, that, like, really slow to build romantic connection, because I certainly can't get that from an online dating thing. I, like, cannot tell if I'm gonna like you at all.
I want you in my bedroom. Make me feel right.
Hey everyone, it's Dick.
And Max.
The hosts of Off the Cuffs, a kink and BDSM podcast.
A podcast for those in the lifestyle and those who are curious about it.
Each week we sit down with a different guest to discuss their radioactive spider bite into kink.
And it gives everybody a chance to express themselves in matters of sexuality.
And a platform in which to express it.
It's conversational, it's educational, and it's a lot of fun.
More and more people have been reaching out to us telling us what they've learned about themselves just from us sharing our stories with each other every week.
So find Off the Cuffs on iTunes or your favorite podcast streaming service.
And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at OCPKink.
This week, instead of fuck that, fuck yeah, we're going to answer a bunch of questions I got from my Twitter followers about friendships with benefits. Some of these are pretty intense. What is the best thing to do when a friend with benefits says they're fine with the agreed relationship, but you suspect they want more? Do you take them at their word and risk hurting them, or do you break things off to be safe despite what they say?
I think that depends a lot on what you're comfortable with, right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause informed consent, they have the right to consent to something even if it's not good for them, right?
Yeah.
I have the right to go eat McDonald's for lunch every day, and I'm going to feel like shit when I'm done, but mm-hmm. I can eat those goddamn french fries if I want to. That said, you don't have to go to McDonald's with me. Mm-hmm. Like, you can know that it's going to give me a stomach ache and I'm going to be exhausted for the next few days and really crabby, and you don't have to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you do decide to go with me, I'm still the one getting the McDonald's, right? I'm still making that decision. I'm still consenting to it. I still know how it's going to make me feel, and that's not totally on you.
Yeah, I've been on both sides of this. I've been the person who wanted more, and I've also been the person who was saying quite clearly that I could not offer more, but was getting the sense that the other person did want more. And I think the best thing you can do is just continue to assert really clearly what your boundaries are and what you are and are not capable of offering. Because the more that they hear that, the more that they're going to be able to either agree with it or decide that it's not what they want and then make a decision accordingly. I think that when I got into trouble as someone who did want more, it was because I allowed myself to imagine that secretly he also did want more. And that we were going to get there eventually. And if he was asserting his boundaries more clearly, I might not have felt that way. But also, it was on me, you know, to take greater ownership of what I was feeling and what I needed to do about it.
Yeah, I mean, don't be there being like, no, no, the french fries are good for you. They're going to make you feel great. Like, don't be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think you can take full responsibility for... Like, you need to give other people agency, even if they're making decisions that you don't think are good for them. And you don't have to be a part of it, but you also don't have to parent them.
Mm-hmm.
They're grown-ass adults,
in theory. Okay, another question. Yeah. A question from our friend Indigo. How do you feel about breaking off casual things via text, phone call, etc.? It's casual, but does it require in-person breakups? I think that this really depends on the type of relationship and the duration of it. Like, if I have been fucking someone for, like, a year, I'm probably not just going to text them and be like, hey, we can't fuck anymore. I might send them a text before, like, a friendly meetup to be like, just so you know, this other situation has come up, so I don't think I'm going to be able to have sex with you, but we can still hang out as friends. And I think actually sending that in a text might be a good approach because that gives them time to process whether or not they're okay with that and maybe come up with a response as opposed to springing it on them in person. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on the duration of your relationship and what your relationship looks like. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. a friends with benefits is never totally 50-50 friend and benefits, right? Like, it always leans a little more in one direction or the other. And if it leans heavily in the benefits direction, honestly, like, from the busy slut perspective, it's kind of rude to be like, yeah, let's meet up, because they're going to be like, right, so I'm getting sex that day. And then to meet up and be like, so we're not having sex anymore. And they're like, this was my one free night this week. I could have gone to a different friend with benefits. Like, like, that's like going into your shift at work to get fired. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of sucky, especially like, meanwhile, I think if they're a really good friend and you have a lot of friend hangouts, I think it would make sense to like during one of your hangouts be like, hey, I'm feeling this kind of way about the benefits side of the equation, and I don't know if I want to keep doing that, but I do want to keep being your friends. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. in a benefits-heavy situation, you're probably not going to hang out again, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're probably not going to go to the movies anymore or whatever. Like, the basis of your relationship was sex, and you're not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of... I think it really is situation-specific.
Yeah. Another question... What is the best way to ask a friend if they'd like to smooch or more while letting them know that a no won't ruin the relationship?
Someone let me know. I've been working on this one for a year.
Like, okay, so this is a skill that I've been trying to improve at, not just around sex, but in general, is when I'm asking someone to do something, I like to really make it clear that they can say no and that they have an out. And I do that through a variety of sort of linguistic tricks. But like one way that's just really, really simple and straightforward is to just be like, I'm going to ask you a question and I want you to know that you can totally say no and I will not be offended and I will still like you. Like that's very basic to set it up like that. But that makes it clear that that's super important to you. And I think like around this stuff, like transparency is crucial. And is also, as we've been talking about, one of the benefits of friendship with benefits, that there is a greater, like, freedom of, you know, honesty and transparency. So I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, laying that out.
Yeah, and I mean, I flirt with a lot of people, but I like to test the waters with a little flirting first. Mm-hmm. And just to see if I even get a response or whatever. And then I would... I would any sort of date, you know what I mean? If I'm getting a lot of positive feedback, I'd be like, yeah, I kind of want to make out with you right now. Or we could just keep playing video games, like whatever. You know? But yeah, I think giving them that out could be helpful. I think honestly what's going through my head is very similar to the things that I would do in like a more romantic scenario. Like, a more date
Play it off as, like, it could be a joke, unless you're into it, in which case, doesn't have to be a joke. We can actually make out right now.
I mean, also that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm really bad at this, so don't ask me. I have friends I've wanted to make out with for a very long time that I have not, so.
Our friend and fellow podcaster, Andrew Gerza, wonders how come friendships with benefits never ever seem to work out. I mean, I think that they have a bad rap in some ways because, like, most relationships we have in life don't work out if your definition of work out is like last forever, right? Like,
yeah.
Friendships end, romantic relationships end. I think people think of friendships with benefits as being particularly nefarious in the way that they tend to end. And I think that that is because we're not encouraged to communicate continuously through these relationships. And we tend to fall into scripts of either like too casual and too much on the friendship side and not talking enough about the sex stuff, or like treating it like a romantic relationship and diving too deep into it and maybe not being on the same page.
And honestly, and I think, you know what?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, like romantic relationships crash and burn all the time and have fiery, totally. Ugly endings. And no one is yeah. like, but why doesn't monogamy work? But why don't relationships work? Like,
yeah.
I think those types of situations are allowed to have ugly endings. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, friends with benefits or poly relationships or anything slightly non-normative, when it has a ugly, fiery, you know, fighting end,
mm-hmm.
people look at it and go, see, it never works. See, that's what you mm-hmm. get for being outside of the norm, for having sex without yeah. a romantic connection, because sex is sacred and it's about romance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's what you get for trying something different.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of just confirmation bias in, like, you know, how dare it end? And how dare you, how very dare you try and do this thing that makes you happy? See how it ended.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that there's a lot of gender-based stereotyping and stigma in the way we talk about these relationships, in that often, like, the more feminine person in the relationship is viewed as the person who's going to develop romantic feelings, that that's going to be the thing that fucks it up. And then if that does happen, then that person might feel particularly ashamed and not willing or able to come forward about it. I think just, like, the solution, like most relationship problems, is just continuous communication and checking in and seeing how you're both feeling about it, both sexually and on the emotional side of things. Like, how can we make this better for both of us? Is there anything that's uncomfortable or that annoys you or that you wish was different? And if feelings start to come up, then you got to talk about those. And I think that that's the best way to avoid, not necessarily an ending, because sometimes things got to end, but I think that's probably the best way to avoid an ugly ending, if at all possible.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the folks who tweeted those questions at us. We're also thinking about doing a full episode that would just be listener questions about anything under our purview, so sex, dating, masturbating. If you would like to submit a question for that, you can send it to thedildorks@gmail.com. And if we get enough of them, we can do a whole episode that's just your questions, which is super exciting.
Yeah, I think that'll be really fun. I love this.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of The Dildorks. I hope that it benefited you. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net. And if you're interested in friendships with benefits, you should check out that piece that I mentioned earlier that I just posted.
I thought you were just proposing to our listeners. So, like, and if you're interested with friendships with benefits,
no, God, my DMs are so full of... I'm so inundated. I got so annoyed at this dude the other day who, like, DM'd me, just this random ass dude who happens to live in Toronto where I live, and he was, like, trying to chat with me, and I don't have time for chatting with random guys, so I was like, what can I help you with? And he wanted to get sexty, so I was like, well, you can pay me, here's my PayPal. And he'd seen me tweeting about my fuck buddy, and he's like, oh, is that how you met your friend with benefits? You've made him pay at first too? And I was like, well, no, like, he wasn't a random guy from the internet, and also he didn't, like, disregard my boundaries in our first conversation like you're doing right now, but okay.
Yeah. Like,
that's not an effective approach.
You're not entitled to attention from anyone. And, like, no, maybe stop. Maybe that dude would have been, like, your new dream guy. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you have to talk to him. No. Like, you can pass up that opportunity, even if he's perfect.
Yeah.
You can pass up that opportunity. And, like, he was spoilers, not perfect, he's not. Let me tell you. Like, he's also the worst.
The worst. Anyway, yes, check out my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at BexTalkSex.com, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Last week, I actually wrote all about using condoms with blowjobs, which I feel like has way too much stigma and is perfectly fine.
It's such a good post.
But yeah, I have, I made a little video at the end on how to put a condom on with your mouth, which involved walking around my apartment building with a condom in my mouth, taking pictures, looking for good lighting. So that got me some funny looks. And just, like, a dildo in my hand, and I didn't even realize that I was just, like, carrying it around until I walked past some, like, little old Italian lady. Or Greek lady. I'm in Astoria, so probably a little old Greek lady. But she just kind of looked at me, and I was like, oh. Like, wandered off. But anyway, so you can check all that out at BexTalkSex.com. And together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, and at thedildorks.com. You can find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcasting app, which I assume you did, since my voice is in your ears. But while you're there, go and rate and review us. It makes me smile and gets us way higher up in the charts, which gets us more listeners and is great and what we want. So do that.
You can support us also at patreon.com/thedildorks. And this would be a really good time to sign up for that, because next week we're doing a Halloween special live stream. We do a once a month live stream for our Patreon supporters at the $5 a month or $5 an episode level and higher. And that's where you actually get to watch us record, which means you get to hear us fucking up and doing all our blooper goodness.
And we don't even give you all of the bloopers. Some of them are too bad to make it into the end of the recording. And you'll get those.
Some of them are too personal and inappropriate.
Yeah, that's honestly more often what happens.
Yeah.
We're doing mid-podcast, let me tell you this story, and then like 20 minutes later. Right, none of that can go in the show.
Yeah, so get on board, patreon.com/thedildorks, because the Halloween special is going to be pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I want to say thank you to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song, and also to Amy Gardner, who is at @starboots_ on Twitter. She did our logo for us. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye. In the questions I just wrote, how do you end FWB? Which I meant, like, how do you end?
How do you end him?
I'm definitely finish him. My fuck buddy sometimes.